Let's pray. Father God, as we are with your word, in your word today, we pray that you will break it open for us and show us treasure for our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in an unfolding story, and I'm going to keep the last bit still from you, the last part of the reading. It's kind of what Jesus did. He was walking the story, living the story with his disciples, and he only revealed parts of it as time went on, when the time was right for people to know and to understand what was happening. But along the way, it was very, very bewildering for people because he didn't act in the way that they thought he should or that they thought he would. And I think probably like me, you are aware of how strong the pull is to be with someone who you love if they're very ill or maybe dying. And so I noticed in the hospice when I was there as a chaplain that when the last days came, people came from everywhere, from across the other side of the world or from down the street to be with their loved one. And nobody could stop them. Planes, trains, running feet, and being there around the bedside. So when Jesus didn't go, when he heard that his friend was gravely ill, it was a shocking thing. And to delay 2 days is perhaps more shocking, because the longer he delayed, the more worried everybody became. Why isn't he moving? This is what people do when they love each other, they move. And I invite you to be thoughtful about times in your life when you've been confused by God, doing or not doing what you hoped he would, you longed for, and he didn't, or something happened and you think, why didn't he stop that if he's God? So those were the questions that everybody was with, who was with Lazarus and also the people that were with Jesus. I am with how often, as human beings, we may ask the question, where is God when you need him? And you may have read the works of C.S. Lewis, who wrote, when his wife died and he was desperate to feel God's presence with him, he wrote that God was a very absent help in times of trouble. He wasn't there. It was like he'd slammed the door in his face and wasn't there for him. So we're with that kind of feeling that the people were experiencing around Jesus. Finally, he did move. And he went there. And I think that even as he arrived, there would have been even more consternation and bewilderment because Lazarus had now died. And people may well have been thinking, well, this is a fine time to turn up now, isn't it? Where the heck have you been, Jesus? And it's too late. You've actually missed it. I can feel the anger in me as I say the words that I think they may, some of them, have been wanting to say. And it's like that throughout history. There are people who are feeling that way about God, I think. Today there will be some, and you may be one of them. Where is Jesus? When he arrived, he went with the women to the grave, and many of the people who were there followed him. They'd been in the house, but they followed him, so there was a big crowd. They went with him, and then they found the grave. The grave of Lazarus is very with me in my heart today, because I was there in January of this year. Not only was I there at the entrance to that grave where Jesus may have stood, but I had the privilege of going in to that grave. It may not be where Lazarus actually lay, but it's in the very place where it happened. And there are graves there that date back to the time of Jesus. So I'm with, if it wasn't that one, it was one nearby that was very like it. And what I noticed about the grave of Lazarus was how very deep and very dark it was. And some people here in the church went in as well. Who have we got that went in the grave? Yeah? And there are two chambers, actually. You go down a flight of stone steps cut into the earth, into the first chamber, and then down another set of about 12 more steps into the lower chamber. And then you have to crawl under a low entrance into the final part of the tomb. It is a long way down. It may not today have been quite as it was, because the ground around it is higher than it was. It may not have been that deep. However, it was deep and it was dark. And that's what's with me as I remember and as I picture the scene that Jesus encountered as he went there, and the scene that Lazarus was in himself. So I'm with that Jesus was calling to Lazarus from a very, very, very much of a distance from where he was, deep in the earth, in the darkness. And that's why he had to shout when the time came. And the meaning for me today, as I ponder it, is that it is really important for all of us to know that Jesus comes to call us from the deepest, darkest places in our lives. Places where we can find ourselves falling to, even through dark holes in our own faith, and landing somewhere that is very unfamiliar and very frightening. And he wants us to know that that's where he sees us, and that's where he reaches out to us with his voice, with his heart, with the longing of his love for us to call us from there. In our Lent group last week, we heard a story of somebody, an Eritrean Christian, who had an experience of such darkness that as I heard her speak of her experience, I felt as though I was hearing somebody describe being in a tomb. So because of her Christian faith and the fact that she shared it in Eritrea, where there is no religious freedom, and because she's a gospel singer and she sang, she found herself incarcerated in a shipping container in the desert, in the scorching heat of the day and the very, very cold nights, shut in, no windows, no door, with other people crammed into a tiny dark space. And what did she do there? She sang. And her singing in that dark place enlivened the faith and maybe brought faith to some of the others in there with her. She was there, or in prison somewhere, but quite often it would be in the shipping container, for 32 months of her life before she was released. So I'm with the darkness of some places in modern times that are a bit like the tomb of Lazarus. Her name, Helen Bahani. If you want to look up her story. She describes the situation as like being in hell on earth. But her faith did not waver. In actual fact, it got deeper and deeper. Let's be back with Jesus. Time for the rest of the story. I'm reading now from verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he'd said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." The edginess of this encounter and what Jesus did. You do not remove the stone from a tomb where there's a body that's been there 4 days. You don't do that. And the prayer of Jesus catches me too. Because he didn't need to pray that prayer out loud. His communion with God was absolutely in his heart and mind. He didn't need to say the words. But he wanted the people to know, and he wants us to know, the power of prayer and the close proximity of God. And those words are for us today. In the deep, in the dark, wrapped up in cloths, Lazarus somehow heard the voice of Jesus from way up there in the light, and he stirred this dead man who was about to be a dead man walking. He stirred, and he somehow moved himself up those steps, along towards the light, along towards the voice of Jesus. And can you imagine what that was like for someone who had been stiff and bound and buried for those days, and who also couldn't see? Even if there'd been light in there, his eyes were covered with bandages. He had to, I think, crawl his way out of there. And that makes me think of how often people who are struggling in their lives, and that might be me and it might be you right now, have to struggle to find our way. And if we're listening to the voice of Jesus, how hard we have to listen, how much we have to focus on him and keep our eyes, our hearts on him. It's a long journey. It's a long journey out. And the being encumbered physically as he was is maybe a metaphor also for how encumbered we can be by the things that hold us in dark places. Sadness, grief, lack of forgiveness, resentment, disappointment. So much psychological and emotional darkness can envelop our lives at times. So I'm with that. Also with the fact that this would be Jesus too in the weeks that lay, the days that lay ahead of him, that he was really aware of his own darkness that was approaching. It's so tender, this scene, isn't it? There's such an encounter between these two guys. He finally made it to the surface, to the entrance, and Jesus said, "Help him. Help him, you people that are standing around. Get those cloths, those grave cloths, off him and set him free." And so there may be some of us today who will be able to think, "I need some help. I need some help, and I want to ask for some to get these, my metaphorical cloths, grave clothes off me." And there may be some of us who are able to help, who can be the ones to take off what encumbers people and encourages them on their way. That could be any of us, probably is all of us, actually. Lazarus, then, he comes out and he's helped and he's standing there free and he's alive. And then there's life ahead of him, a life that's been given back, a life that is for a purpose. Because if you've ever found that you've been given an extra day of life that you didn't think you'd have, or an extra few weeks or years even of life, you'll know. You do know, don't you? I can see there's some nodding around. Life is an absolute gift, and it is to be used and delighted in. There's to be joy, and there's to be offering what you have back to the God who saved you. So where are you in the story? Are you in the deep darkness and needing to know that God is present? Well, if so, can I just tell you a beautiful thing? So in the deep, deep darkness of Lazarus's tomb in January, the group that I was with, was anyone with me actually? Because we went down in three groups. I don't know if anyone was with me who was there. The group I was with, when we were there, we decided to sing, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here." And he was. He was. And he is. And he's with you, wherever you are, if it's dark. If you're trying to find your way out, keep going. Don't stop because the voice is faint and the grave cloths are tight and the light is far away. Don't stop. And if anyone is able to help somebody else, please do. Whether it's a tiny thing or whether it's a big thing, let's help each other and let's celebrate life. Jesus wept because he was so caught in the story. Even though he knew what was going to happen, he would raise Lazarus, but he was deep in the darkness himself, the closest companion to grief and sadness that there could ever be. Because he's been there and he was about to go again into his own darkness. But what he says is this, and this is our verse of the week. "Didn't I tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" There's the promise. There's the light. There's the presence. There's the answer. And if it takes a lot to believe and you can only believe a little and it will take you far, because he'll come and get you from there. Father God, we're your people. Wherever we are in our journeys of faith, we acknowledge your presence. And if you're feeling absent, then we ask for it. And we pray that in this holy season of Lent, going into Holy Week, Passion, that we will know ourselves in the company of the living God. Amen.